Take me back to yesterday.
Yes, indeed. It's all right here on Beat Life Radio, and it's a big hi from me, Cherry D. And I'm happy to be entertaining you and taking you back on those trips. As we just said, as we open the programme there, why don't they make it like that anymore? We'll be doing a bit of reminiscing and a little bit of everything else. Well, who is Cherry D? If it's the first time you've joined me or heard me, well, I think... I'm going to let Elton John, I think I'll let him give you a little bit of my background. I think you might have got the idea from that one. That is, of course, Sir Elton John, and that was I Was Born in England. I'm not born, but made in England. Same as being born, really, isn't it? Anyway, there it is. Elton John, made in England. That's a sort of fairly modern piece of music for me, 1995. It was In actual fact, written partly as an autobiographical reflection, Elton John used the song really to speak about growing up in post-war England, mixing nostalgia with social commentary. The single, by the way, was also a nod to his pride in his roots, despite his fame, well, really making him part of the world, wasn't it? And the video he made at the time was a cheekily sort of banned in some countries because of, a subtle middle finger imagery hidden in the scenes. Elton's way of, at that time, rebelling against tabloid criticism. Now, you probably didn't hear the beginning of that when we opened up because I was talking over it, but this is the first chord from his song. Now, I have this thing. I hear something in a piece of music or something else, and I think, oh, gosh, I know that. And indeed, I do. So I'm gonna start this with that chord coming from Elton John and then follow up with another track.
It's been a hard...
So there you go. Yes, a very famous opening chord on that song, as I'm pretty sure you all know. As I mentioned, this, by the way, is the one from Mr. Elton John's Made in England. And this is the beginning of A Hard Day's Night. They are different, subtly different, but if I was to play one and not tell you, in other words, the wrong one to the original song, you probably wouldn't know. I probably wouldn't know. And that was, Hard Day's Night. And by the opening chord, by the way, is so famously mysterious, apparently, the guitarists still debate on its exact makeup. However, George Harrison finally revealed that involved his Rickenbacker 12-string guitar and Paul's bass playing the same chord. Now, Hard Day's Night, that was an offhand remark originally by Ringo Starr after a long day's work. Released as both a single, of course, and the title track of the Beatles' first feature film, and became the first movie tie-in to top both the US and the UK charts at the same time. Now, I was, let me see, this was 1964, so I was young, 15. I remember my mother took me to see A Hard Day's Night at the, I think it was the Empire Theatre in movie theatre in Leicester Square. And the place was full of Screaming Girls. This was a movie. There was nobody there of any consequence, and I couldn't hear the movie because everybody was too busy screaming. And that was my first introduction. I was wearing my Beatle jacket as well, by the way. And by the way, one of my sayings, apart from, by the way, is the fact that I use the expression, I played them then, and I've been playing them really ever since I played them then. So that is because when I was a young boy, well, young man at the age of 19, I did work on radio, and we had music like that just being released, which was completely new, and it was completely fresh. And what have I been doing ever since? Well, I've been doing what the little river band say. I've been reminiscing for all these years.
La la la. should I care when all I've gotta do is run to you? Even the bad times are good. Soon as I get to you, baby, you just gotta hold me. And even the bad times are good. Even the bad times are good. Soon as I get to you, baby, you just gotta kiss me. And even the bad times are good. Standing by, and all I gotta do is run to you. Even the bad times are good. Soon as I get to you, baby, you just gotta hold me. And even the bad times are good. Even the bad times are good. Soon as I get to you, baby, you just gotta kiss me.
And we started off those two, as I mentioned, Little River Band and Reminiscing, which of course I'm certainly doing here. And that was, by the way, the Little River Band song. It was written by guitarist Graham Goebel. And a soft rock classic became Little River Band's highest charting US hit, earning them a spot in American radio history as one of the most played songs of all time. In actual fact, John Lennon, by the way, once called it one of his favourite songs, saying it reminded him of the kind of romantic storytelling that he loved from the 1940s and the 1950s. And following on from there, went back to the year 1967 with the Tremolos, and that was a nice, happy, upbeat hit, perfectly captured the optimism back then of the swinging 60s. And the Tremolos had famously, by the way, turned down an audition for the Beatles label years earlier, yet still managed to have several top UK 10 hits. And by the way, the fact was they were originally Decca Records' safe choice. This was over the Beatles in 1962, which, of course, that was one of Decca Records' most famously regretted decisions. You're listening to Why Don't They Make Them Like That Anymore? Such a shame. You're with me, Jerry D. This is perhaps one of the first disco songs, by the way. Rock Your Baby. Comes from George McRae.
Take me in your arms like a baby.
absolutely brilliant. 1974, I remember bopping away to that one. And that was Rock Your Baby from George McRae. Often, as I mentioned, considered to be one of the first big disco hits of the time. And this track was actually intended, believe it or not, for Casey and the Sunshine Band. When Casey's voice didn't suit the higher notes, McRae stepped in, resulting in a global smash that sold over 11 million copies. Now, here's an interesting little fact for you. George McRae recorded the song in just two takes, while his then wife, who was Gwen McRae, well, she was meant to be the star of the song. Apparently, George was just hanging around when the studio then asked him to try it. And the rest is history. I can't find any information about any divorce or anything like that, though. Oh, you're listening to Why Don't They Make Them Like That Anymore? I'm Jerry D, great to be with you. I just love playing this stuff. Play this one from the Spencer Davis Group.
Keep on running. Keep on hiding. One fine day I'm gonna be the one to make you understand. Oh yeah, I'm gonna be your man.
Cool is that one? That was my idea of exercising, listening to that. Keep on running from the Spencer Davis group. Interesting little fact about that one. Of course, it did help to showcase a teenage Steve Winwood's soulful voice. And by the way, that was Spencer Davis's group's first UK number one hit. Now, Steve Winwood was only 17 when he topped the charts with that one, and he was still doing his A-levels while fronting what was then still a major pop band. Now, moving on, this to me was one of the songs which was way ahead of their time. It was released in 1967, which we knew as the Summer of Love. I tell you what, Summer of Love was good when you were 18. It's a psychedelic rock ballad. It's got a melody inspired by Bach's Air on a G-String. You may have guessed it by now. Became one of the defining songs of that summer. And by the way, it's surreal lyrics. We Skip the Light Fandango, another crew there, have been analysed endlessly. But lyricist Keith Reid once admitted he just wanted to create an image-driven mood and not to tell any literal story. Got it? It's this one. Why the Shade of Pale from Procol Harum.
Thank you. cartwheels cross the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick. The crowd called out for more. The room was humming harder as the ceiling. At first, just go sleep. Turn the wider shade off.
Or he wouldn't get in touch with me. Though I ain't there. reject if you call collect.
A little trip back to the year 1972 with that one from Rod Stewart. That was co-written together with him with Martin Quittenton, and it was his follow-up to Maggie May, and carried the sort of same mix of the acoustic strum and the witty nostalgia. Got to number one for him as well, so that was good for him. That's a happy Rod. He recorded, here's an interesting little fact for you, he recorded the vocals in his kitchen. And you can even hear the faint clinking of glasses in the background on some of the mixes of that song. And that was back in 1972. Yeah. Wasn't even the pandemic.
Take me back to yesterday.
And 1971, Grateful Dead brought that one out, playing in the band. Signature live jam piece, really. It was co-written by Bob Weir and lyricist Robert Hunter, known for its shifting time signatures. Became a showcase for the Grateful Dead's improvisational skills, often stretching beyond 20 minutes in concert. Now, an interesting little fact is the song's unusual 10-4 time signature means that you can't quite dance to it in a normal rhythm. Or, like me, can't dance to anything at all. Which is exactly why the Deadheads loved it. Yes, during their famously free-form live shows. Now, one thing we all have in common. Yes, us lot. We all love music, don't we? Of course we do. You're listening to me, Jerry D, and we're on a little show that I'm calling Why Don't They Make It Like That Anymore? Well, this is I Love Music from Montana, 1973, a funk-infused groove by the Montana Band, not to be confused, by the way, with the OJ's later hit of the same name. Produced by Philadelphia's disco scene figure, Vincent Montana Jr., and it sort of blended jazz, soul, and emerging disco elements all into one.
Oh,
There we go. I tell you what, I just want to go back to I Love Music by, Montana. Because I mentioned Vincent Montana Jr., who was the band leader, later became a key figure. This was in the Philadelphia sound and founded the South Soul Orchestra, which was famous at the time of blending disco and Latin percussion, before it was even cool. There we go. And that last one there was What the Hell I Got from Michel Pagliaro, a Canadian rock anthem with a cheeky little title and a catchy hook to it as well. Pagliaro's song became a cult favourite. This was beyond Canada's borders, and he was one of the first Quebecios artists to score major English language rockets in 1970. Well, anyway, interesting little fact, Pagliaro was the first Canadian artist to score top 40 hits in both English and in French, making him a bilingual rock rebel, long before it was fashionable. Yes, being a rock rebel did become fashionable, apparently. And that's it. Now, taking us out, It's Not Unusual, from Tom Jones.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry. I wanna die. It's not unusual to go out at any time. But when I see you out and about, it's such a crime. If you should ever wanna be loved by anyone, it's not unusual, it happens every day. No matter what you say, you'll find it happens all the time. Love will never do what you want to do. Why can't this crazy love be more. It's not unusual to be mad with anyone. It's not unusual to be sad with anyone. But if I ever find that you've changed at any time, it's not unusual to find that I'm in love with you. Oh, 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 oh.
And there we go. Yes, as I said, taking us out, that's Mr. Tom Jones and Not Unusual. You've been listening to Why Don't They Make It Like That Anymore with me, Jerry D. And that's about it. Time for me to go off and do something else for the rest of today. Hope you enjoyed our little trip back in time, doing a little bit of reminiscing. Don't forget, stay tuned. You never know. You might hear more of me in the future. This is Jerry D. Ta-ta for now.
Take me back to yesterday. Feel the spark, the joy.